Let's turn in this week to our Torah portion, Ekev. Ekev, Torah portion, Ekev this week. Oh, Abba Yahweh, I pray that you would give me the words to speak to your people. That, Abba, that we would press in today and that we would, Abba, receive from your Kadosh word as we go forth and minister today. Let's turn to Devarim, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 12. Ekev, Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 12 today. It's often translated in the Hebrew, on the heel of, ekev, translated into the English, on the heel of. But you'll actually notice as you read the text, on the heel of doesn't appear in the text. So where do we get that from? We'll look into that a little bit today. But I also want to talk about the womb. We're going to be touching on the womb, sickness and healing. Because, brethren, we've seen some miracles happen here. We have seen people be healed. We've been talking a lot about generational sin. We've been talking about how Yahweh can heal and change your DNA and how that we need to be delivered, because it says in the scripture that the sins of the forefathers, they come down to us and we're to make teshuvah, repentance. And Yahweh is wanting to bring that to light to this generation, because so many of us in the movement, whatever you want to call it, the Hebrew roots, the messianic, there's a lot of people with a lot of hurt, a lot of church hurt. And I think for us really to understand that, we have to understand the Torah, the promises that Yahweh says within our Torah portion, I will put none of the sicknesses, none of the diseases of the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, upon you. We need to claim the victory, walk in the victory, but we also need to make the adjustment, the teshuvah, the repentance for the sins, not only our sins, but the sins of our forefathers, just like it says in Vayikra, Leviticus chapter 26. So we're going to be looking about healing. Not only us corporately as a body, but individually. I need to be healed too. I mean, I'm not teaching at you. I'm a part of you. Together we are the body of Mashiach. He wants to heal us even from the exile to bring us back into the land. I mean, there's healing. It's multi-level healing. It's national. It's personal. It's corporate. He wants to heal. He wants to heal his name. No longer for us to bring Yahweh's name to vain emptiness by calling them the Lord, but to bring his name to glory. There's so much healing that needs to go on, and sometimes we're resistant to that change, resistant to that healing. And I want to examine things today using the acronym PARDES. Of course, we're getting very familiar with that, which in Hebrew means orchard, PARDES, but it's an acronym for the Peshat, the plain level of the text, the remez, the hint, the drash, and the sod, the deep mysterious levels of the text. So we'll be getting into that a little bit today. So let's have a look and see in our scriptures in verse 12 of Deuteronomy. There's going to be blessings, brethren. Blessings when we obey the mitzvot. And that's what we're truly seeing. And there's curses when we stay outside of those blessings. Therefore it shall come to pass. In the Hebrew, Vayhaya ekef, ekev tish shamaun. And right there, you're going to see within those very few words in the Hebrew, the sheen mem, giving us that root that we've been examining recently with Shema, hear, O Israel, and Shema, God. Because Yahweh wants us to hear, and Yahweh wants us to guard his mitzvot, to guard them, just like Adam the Chava was supposed to guard the garden, yet Adam failed, and in came Satan and corrupted the DNA. So there's so much that we need to do. In the Hebrew, Vayacha, Vahaya, excuse me, Ekev Tis Shamaun. And it shall be because you hear. Now, Tishamaun is a form of Shema. It's future tense. To you, there will be those in the future that will hear, do, and obey. And that's you. We are those people that are finally saying, yes, I not only hear, but I will do and I will obey. My belief isn't just mental assent. It's actually walking it out. And that's the struggle. That's the struggle that I have. I mean, I can come here before you and sit up here and teach the Torah until I'm blue in the face. But where my struggle is, just like Avraham, just like Moshe Rabbeinu, is in the domestic arena. Can I really do this at home with my children and with my wife? When I want to raise my voice, that is when I really should speak softly. That is really how I overcome and change. Am I really willing to go back to the pastor that I sat under for many years and give my testimony without being arrogant, without being raised up and exalted of what Yahweh's done as I've come into the Torah? Why shouldn't I be able to do those things? Those are the things that Yahweh is working on my heart, because I'm no longer just hearing, but I'm actually wanting to walk it out, because the man I am at home when nobody looks at, that's truly who I am. That's truly who all of you are. That's the true essence of the Torah. So will we Shema? Will we really hear? Will we guard? Let's have a look and see what we have right here. Remember, it says that if we keep and walk in the covenant, the Yahweh will bless us. Look what it says in those opening verses. Therefore, it shall come to pass, if you listen to these mishpatim, these statutes, and shomar, guard, and do them, that Yahweh your Elohim shall keep with you the brit, the covenant, and the rachamim, the mercy which he swore to your avot. That is it, brethren. That Yahweh is the one that will keep the covenant on our behalf. And it always goes back to this. Bereshit, Genesis chapter 15, we see this is the foundation and essence of why we're so successful in covenant, when we truly believe it from a Torah perspective. That Yeshua, he could never, ever do away with the covenants, because he is the covenant. When Avraham came before Yahweh and he flayed open those pieces, he was going to walk through those pieces, but Yahweh put him to sleep, and Yahweh walked through those pieces. It was actually Yahweh Yeshua, because right within that text, the Aleph Tav appears 12 times, representing that Yeshua is the one that will keep the covenant for the lost 12 tribes, not just 10. All 12 of us have been lost. He's the one that can keep the covenant on our behalf so that we will do Torah. That's when we truly accept Yeshua, ultimately, someday, before, in this generation, I'm not talking about previous generations, Yahweh is patient and kind, and he reveals to each generation more and more and more. But to this generation, those that love Yeshua, he's going to reveal that you can keep the covenant in his son, because his son appeared 12 times representing the house of Ephraim and Judah, all 12 tribes. He'll keep the covenant for you. Look what it says right there. Yahweh, your Elohim, he shall keep the covenant with the rachamim. Rachamim comes from the Hebrew root word rechem, which means womb. He's going to put us in that womb of safety. That's truly Yahweh guarding us. Rachamim, mercy, coming from the root word rechem, womb. He swore that to our fathers. Verse 13, and he will love you, and he will bless you, and he will multiply you, and he will also bless the fruit of your womb. In the Hebrew, the word right there is beten, the fruit of your womb, and the fruit of your land, your corn and your wine and your oil, and the increase of your cattle and the flocks and your sheep in the land, in the land which he swore to your avot, your fathers, to give you. You shall be blessed above all peoples. There shall not be male or female barren among you or among your cattle. I mean, this is a promise. Yahweh makes promises for us. And Yahweh will take away you from you all the sickness. You know, I was in religion in the church for many years. I had no children. But Yahweh's word is true. Since I have come into the Torah, Yahweh's blessed me with a 5-year-old firstborn Bachor, son. I have a 3-year-old daughter. I have a 2-year-old daughter. I have an 8-month-old son. What is that? Look at me. You shall know them by their fruit. That, I mean, what can I say? That is Yahweh blessing me. Not because of me, but because I aligned myself with his word and made repentance. And I said, I was a sinner. And look what he's done. All glory to Yahweh. You shall know them by their fruit. I mean, truly, truly. And Yahweh will take away from you all sickness and will put none of the evil diseases of the Mitzrim, the Egyptians, which you have seen and know about upon you, but will lay them upon all of them that hate you. And you shall consume all the peoples that Yahweh your Elohim shall deliver for you. Your eye shall have no pity upon them, neither shall you serve their Elohim, for that will be a snare unto you. If you say in your lev, your heart, these nations are greater than I, how can I dispossess them? You shall not be afraid of them, but shall well remember that Yahweh your Elohim did to Pharaoh and to all the Mitzrim, the great temptations which your eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the outstretched arm, whereby Yahweh your Elohim brought you out, so Yahweh your Elohim will do to all the peoples whom you fear. Moreover, verse 20, Yahweh your Elohim will send the hornet among them until they that are left who hide themselves from you will be destroyed. You shall not be afraid of them, for Yahweh your Elohim is among you, a mighty El, an awesome. And Yahweh your Elohim will put out those nations before you little by little. You may not consume them at once, lest the beasts of the field increase upon you. But Yahweh your Elohim shall deliver them to you, and shall destroy them with a mighty destruction until they are destroyed. And he shall deliver their malachim, kings, into your hand. And you shall destroy their name from under the Shamayim heavens. Therefore shall no man be able to stand before you until you have destroyed them. Verse 25. The graven images of their Elohim shall you burn with fire. You shall not desire the silver or gold that is on them, nor take it for yourselves, lest you be snared with it. For it is an abomination to Yahweh your Elohim. Neither shall you bring an abomination into your Bait house, lest you be a cursed thing like it, but you shall utterly detest it. And you shall utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing. Chapter 8. All the mitzvot which I command you this day shall you shomer, guard. There's that Sheen Mem root right in that, to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land that Yahweh swore to your avot. And you shall remember all the ways that Yahweh your Elohim led you these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble you, to prove you, and to know what was in your lev, whether you would shomer, guard his mitzvot, commandments or not. And he humbled you and allowed you to hunger and fed you with manna, which you knew not. Neither did you your avot, fathers, know, that he might make you know that man does not live by lechem alone, bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Yahweh does man live. Your garment did not wear out on you, neither did your foot swell these 40 years. You shall also consider in your lev, heart, that as a man disciplines his son, so Yahweh your Elohim shall discipline you. Therefore you shall shomer, guard the mitzvot, commandments of Yahweh your Elohim, to have your halacha walk in his ways, and to fear him. For Yahweh your Elohim brings you into a tov and spacious land, a land of brooks and ma'im, water, of fountains and of depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills, a land of wheat, barley, vines, and fig etzim, trees, and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and a land of honey, a land where you shall eat lechem, bread, without scarceness. You shall not lack anything in it, a land whose stones are iron, and out of those hills you may dig brass. When you have eaten on our full, then you shall bless Yahweh your Elohim for the tov land that he has given you. Beware that you forget not Yahweh your Elohim in not keeping his mitzvot and his mishpatim, statutes, his judgments, and his chukim, statutes, which I command you this day. Lest when you have eaten and are full and have built nice houses and have dwelt in them, when your herds and your flocks multiply, and your silver and your gold is multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, that your lev, heart, be lifted up, and you forget Yahweh your Elohim, who brought you forth out of the land of Mitzrayim, Egypt, from the house, the bayit, of bondage, who led you through the great and awesome wilderness, where there were fiery serpents, scorpions, and drought, where there was no mayim, no water, and who brought forth mayim, water, out of the rock, the flinty rock. So Yahweh is our Elohim. Yahweh is our deliverer. He is the one that provides. And he's the one that says, if you can't do it because you fail, I'm the one that will be able to walk you through that covenant. Just like I did to Abraham, that is truly what Yeshua has done for us. So Ekev, if we look at a couple of things on the screen, we see Ekev in the Hebrew, on the heel of, is the title of our Torah portion. But as I've read, and as have you seen in the first few verses, on the heel of doesn't actually appear in the text, does it, Gil? It doesn't. Because Yahweh, through Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses our teacher, is trying to express a thought. He's trying to express something to us. And what it is if you were to walk, you were to have a halacha, what's called a walk, what is it that strikes the ground first? A heel strike. Meaning that the soon as you do something, keep his commandments, something is going to happen. It's going to be because of this, that will happen. Meaning if you keep the commandments, something is going to chase you down. And it's called the blessing. It's instantaneous. It's the heel strike. That is what is being tried to express. Because as a result of this will happen or that will happen. If we keep the commandments, our life can change radically. I mean, if there's people that are suffering from a poverty spirit, and that is all around this community, and I'm not just talking financial. You'll go into some places and it'll be dirty. There'll just be a whole poverty spirit of broken people. Why? Yahweh says if we keep his commandments, the blessings are going to hunt us down and chase us down. Why have we got all this broken poverty spirit around? Because outwardly we say we love Torah. But inwardly, have we really changed? Are we really changing towards other people? Do we really have a heart to ministry? Or are you trying to build your own kingdom? Because you try to build your own kingdom, you're going to stay in a poverty spirit. It's just not going to happen. I mean, Brother Gil and I were talking about this. How is it that we can go and effectively minister to the youth? I mean, I have a heart for us to go into colleges, to go into high schools. I don't want to go and look for broken people that aren't willing to change, that want to wear the long seats and judge one another. And you'll end up with 60 people that are just mill around all of the congregations that you can imagine opening up. Let's get another 15 Torah teachers and let's have those 60 broken people just mill around. You know what? Go for it. I need to look for the life. And that's the youth. That's the youth that are feeling suicidal, that are caught up in sexual immorality, that don't even know the Ten Commandments. But they could list you 10 beers. I mean, that's where we need to be going, because that is what Yeshua taught. Yeshua wants us to go and teach the Torah, the fence, so people can come into this. This place should be full up with youth. And I said to Brother Gil, well, it will be in 11 years, you know, because all of our children will be there. But, you know, really, we don't have that much time. If Campus Crusade for Christ can be successful and Young Life can be successful, why aren't we going into the high schools and colleges teaching them about generational sin, repentance, deliverance from bondage, slavery, and the Torah and Yeshua? I mean, we should be able to do those things. But instead, we're focusing on 50 or 60 crippled people in the community that aren't willing to change. I'm just seeing it how it is. Yeah. Just keep on going round, complaining about everything. Really? Come on, brethren, we got to get on this. Because Ekev, heel strike. Something will happen when we keep the commandments. On the heel of, even though the heel doesn't appear in the text, it is expressing a thought. A thought, a principle Yahweh is expressing through Moshe Rabbeinu. It's all about our walk, our halacha. Will we walk in his ways? If we walk in his ways, then guess what? The blessings, they are going to chase us down. You won't have to look for the blessings in your life. They will literally hunt you down and chase you down. Because Yahweh is bound by his Torah. He's bound by his Torah. That's why I love praying scripture to Yahweh. And I love calling Yahweh on his scripture and challenging Yahweh to his scripture, because I know then I'm free. I'm free from my own thoughts, from my own ambitions. And I'm just here because there's a few of you here today just expressing my heart. But seriously, do you know how much time, and I know you understand, brother, do you know how much time we spend as ministers to be able to come and be here on Shabbat? And then I'm like, Yahweh, if this isn't what you have for me, I pray, Abba Yahweh, shut the doors of Torah to the tribe swiftly today. Please, I do not want to be doing this. But Yahweh, if this is your will and these are the people and this is and I'm right with you, then I pray, Abba Yahweh, expand the tent, lengthen the cords, and drive in the stakes of faith, Isaiah 50. Because I want to be in his will, because I can be doing a whole lot of other things. I could just stay at home with my wife and raise my 4 children, and I think that would be a really good life. I mean, do you want to be doing what you're doing if it's not in Yahweh's will? No. I mean, this is my heart, brethren, because I look around and I see so much fracture, and I see so much, really, I want to be with friends that are willing to help me when I'm sick. To pray and prophesy and give me a word, to anoint me with oil, so that, you know, we can be a mishpocha, a family that we can go out and affect and change. I want to go and save a life. Seriously. If we can go into the high school and save one kid from committing suicide or overdosing on drugs, you know what? My life would have been worth it. Why aren't we doing that? Instead, we're mucking around with people that are church hurt, that have been out of the church for 15 years, that were never committed to the churches they were in. They'd only, throw in a few pence. So then you've got all these broke assemblies because they're not committed. We should be committed. We should be committed to the ministry. We should be committed to one another. And we don't have that. Where's the commitment? Oh, you know what? I'm going to go, oh, there's somebody else. I'm going to go listen to them. Oh, you know what? Yet we're running the air conditioning here today, you know. I mean, come on. Really? Ekev on the heel of. The blessings will chase us down. Let's have a look in the paleo. I love going back to the paleo. We have, of course, the Ekev in the Hebrew, the Ayin, the Kaf, and the Vet, or the Bet, without the Dagesh, of course, there is no vowels in the Torah scroll. Ekev, a thought, a principle is being expressed. In the Paleo-Hebrew, the Ayin, the Kaf, and the Bet. What do we have? What is it that Yahweh is trying to communicate to us? The Ayin, of course, is the eye. It means that you're watching, you're looking for something, you're seeing something. Of course, the Kaf is the palm of the hand. The palm of the hand, open the door, walk in the ways. And of course, the Bet is the house. So what is Ekev, really? Watch the ways of your house. Isn't that what I was saying? It's what we do at home. Watch the ways of your house. What's going to happen to your son? What's going to happen to your daughter? That's truly, then I'll see how you watch the ways of your house. So instead, watch the ways of your house. Look at the generations. How many wives have you had? How many husbands have you had? Where are your children? How are they doing with Yahweh? Then judge whether you'll sit under that person. Then judge. I mean, is it really that difficult? I mean, I learned that stuff back in the church. But we don't. I mean, really? Are you going to sit under somebody that switches husbands and wives every year and doesn't talk to their children because their children are off doing... Well, how did they raise up their kids? I mean, it doesn't take a lot of... Really? Am I the only one? Maybe it's just me. Watch the ways of your house. I mean, I think Torah is more than just wearing tzitzit and having your head covered. I'm sorry. I think it's so much more than that. I think I can fool a lot of people by wearing tzitzit that slap me in the ankles, you know. Maybe you'll really think I'm a really godly person. I don't think I'm fooling anybody. Unless we can really, truly do this. Watch the ways of your house. And I don't mean to be preachy at you. I'm speaking to myself as much because, like I say, this is the area that Yahweh has put me in my life to really refine me and show me, who am I? I mean, you want to find out who I am? Grab my wife. Go and ask her. I mean, she'll tell you. I mean, she'll tell you. I mean, that's really what we need to be looking at, brethren. So, if we look at the paleo, we can see it's all about watching the ways of your house. That's what this Torah portion is about. If you're not having success in the home, read Torah portion Ekev and start implementing the things in Ekev, and you will see it'll change dramatically, instantaneously. The blessings will grab hold of your heel and chase you down. That's success in your marriage. That's success with your family and your children. Right there, Ekev, on the heel of. If you change the vowel points... In the modern Hebrew, there's vowel points. If you change the vowel points on the ekev, you get another Hebrew word, and it's called akab. And it means to supplant or to circumvent. Therefore, brethren, what we can tell from this is by hearing and doing, what we are actually doing is immediately, instantaneously supplanting or circumventing the curses that would be in our lives. Immediately. So you want to talk about those curses, those generational curses that come down to you? By changing the vowel points in the Hebrew word ekev, you get the other Hebrew word akav, which means to circumvent or supplant. Because by doing the commandments, you shall circumvent those curses that would come down to you, and you'll end up again in blessings. That's what we all want. These are tools. How many of us, when we were in the church, or maybe even still go to church, that's okay. That's a mission field right there. It's totally wonderful. If we're in the church and we're going, well, how do I have the tools to change? It took me a lot of years to find tools. I wish somebody could have just came, hey, look, Ekev, instantaneous. I can get you right out of where you're at just by keeping the commandments of Yahweh. I love it. These are tools. Let's circumvent the curses. Let's supplant it with blessings. Circumvent those curses with blessings. Akab in the Hebrew also means to come from behind. And you have heard, of course, Jacob, Ya'akov, Ya'akev. Same root word. Why? Many will say, well, Jacob was a deceiver. That's a very traditional Christian interpretation. How many of you have heard that? Jacob the deceiver. Well, no. Ya'akev. Yah will grab the heel. He was grabbing the heel. He was protecting his head from being crushed by Esau, because it all goes back to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3. He shall bruise your heel, but you shall crush his head. So Satan has always wanted to crush the head of the blessed seed. And he used Esau to try and crush the head of the blessed seed. And Yaakov was putting his hand up to protect his head from being crushed by the seed of the serpent. Yaakov. Yaakov. Yah's hand is upon your heel. Was Jacob cursed? He went to Laban and he came back with nothing. No, he went to Laban, which means white, and he came back with what? Multiplicity. You just did an amazing, I can't believe the things that Yahweh's been showing me. And then Jamie's gave me some of your teachings. This is David Matthews, by the way, everybody. It's an honor for you to be, for us to have you here. He did a wonderful teaching. I couldn't believe it. And it's like, are the same things that Yahweh's been showing me about the DNA in the rods of Yaakov. You have to talk to him. You have to listen to it. It's amazing. Because Yaakov, he wasn't cursed. He was blessed. But Malachi says, cursed is the deceiver. Malachi chapter 1, verse 14. He wasn't a deceiver. Jacob couldn't have been a deceiver. Otherwise, he would have been cursed. But he was blessed. He was the one who grabbed the heel, protecting his head from being crushed by the serpent. You see, these are all things that we need to learn so we can walk in the ways of Yahweh. We want the blessings. We do not want the cursings. Of course, the drash, the hint, is he shall crush your head and you shall bruise his heel. So Satan is going to bruise the heel. But ultimately, Moshiach is going to crush the head of Satan. And he's going to end up in the lake of fire. Let's go back to Bereshit, Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And Elohim put enmity between you and the woman, and between your zerah, your seed, and her seed. He shall crush your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Ekev, on the heel of. This all goes back to our Torah portion. Did you notice something when I was reading the text? There was a particular verse in here that Yeshua quoted to Satan, did he not? Did you catch it? Because when Yeshua quoted that, what began at that point? Yeshua is coming out of the wilderness. Satan tests him. Is it possible that Yeshua could be tempted? No. It says, unless you don't believe that Yeshua is Yahweh in the manifest flesh, Yaakov James says, can man tempt Elohim? No. He was tested. He wasn't tempted. Elohim cannot be tempted. Do not say that Elohim can be tempted. It was the testing. Satan tested Yeshua, and Yeshua quoted Parsha Ekev. Because right now, right here, Satan, the head crushing begins. That's why he referenced Torah Parsha Ekev on the heel of. Right now, you have bruised my heel, and you shall bruise my heel. But really, right now, because the Son of Man has been manifest and shall walk amongst you in the flesh, the head crushing has begun. Because I shall not submit. You can test me. Right now, I will quote to you, Satan, Torah Parsha Ekev, because on the heel of this, your head shall be crushed. I mean, it's amazing. To the Jewish mind, this is what it is. Because you understand every verse and every scripture through Torah Parshas. Isn't that true? You'll always go back to a Torah Parsha. So Satan will bruise your heel. He will even come to us. And what will he do? He will try and bruise our heel. He will try and hinder your walk. He will try and hinder my walk. Satan will. He will try and bruise your heel, hinder your walk. When will we return from the exile? When will we get over the sin that we are struggling with today? He wants to bruise our heel. But ultimately, when we walk in the Torah, what are we doing when we walk in the Torah? We are crushing Satan's head. That is what walking in the Torah does. When I grab hold of the mitzvot, the commandments of Yahweh, I am taking legal right to actually now, through the Son, crush the head of Satan. Every mitzvot that I perform crushes the head of Satan. It is a legal prerequisite. It's a legal right. This is victory, brethren. You have got tools in your toolbox. Look what it says in verse 12. Therefore, it shall come to pass if you hearken or listen to these mishpatim, statutes and shomer, guard them. Because you hearken. Hearken in the Hebrew is the same as heal. Those who aren't of Israel. Those who don't want to come into Israel. Because Israel is always about keeping the commandments. Those who don't come into Israel will always view these commandments that we love here, that we talk about, as unimportant. And guess what they'll try and do? I don't want to keep the commandments. And they'll walk and walk over them. They will trample them underfoot. Isn't that what the writer of Ivrim, Hebrews, said in chapter 10:24? You'll count the covenant a common thing, you'll count the blood of Yeshua a common thing, and you will trample it underfoot. Because, brethren, Torah, going all the way back, always goes back to Yeshua. The Aleph Tav, if you're not Israel, if you don't want to graft in to that olive tree and be a partaker of the fatness of the root, you will step on the commandments and walk on them ekev, under the heel. You'll count them as a common thing. You'll count the Spirit as a grace, as a license to do away with these wonderful things called the commandments, which give you a legal right to crush the head of Satan. I love it. I love it. Our parsha is really about showing us our need for a self motivated effort to building a relationship with Yahweh. I mean, it is. It should permeate our whole being right down to the heels. This walk of ours, who wants to spend the rest of their life with just a few little Bible verses, a few little tracts? I want it, brethren. I mean, I don't know why I'm so emotional. I am emotional today. I feel like, I don't know what it is. That's okay, though. Maybe it's a small, intimate setting. But this walk of ours, it should permeate us all the way down to our heels. It should. It should. And if it doesn't, we've got problems. Look in verse 13. And he will love you, chapter 7, verse 13. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you. And he will bless the fruit of your womb. In the Hebrew, beten, belly, innermost parts, beten, bet, tet, nun. And there, of course, is the Paleo-Hebrew. He will bless your beten, your womb, your innermost part. Beten, your innermost parts. What did Yeshua say in Yochanan chapter 7, verse 37? If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the Kitvei HaKodesh, the whole scriptures in plurality, he hath said, out of his beten, his belly, his womb shall flow rivers of Maim Chaim, living waters. If we come to Yeshua out of our womb, our innermost parts, even men. You see, throughout the scriptures, Yahweh isn't just, he wants to relate to both of us. He talks to us as a body. And he talks about wombs. And some of us men in here are like, well, how can I relate to this? But don't worry, the sisters over here are thinking, well, how can I relate to circumcised, for crying out loud? But, I mean, Yahweh's talking to all of his people. I mean, maybe the sisters can relate to womb, and us men, we can relate to circumcised, especially Jeremy in the back there. I'm not talking about him personally, his son. He just had his bris this year, this week. But, I mean, so Yahweh can, I mean, we can understand. I mean, the sisters can understand about circumcised because basically what obstructs Yahweh wants to remove. If there's anything in your heart, Yahweh wants to circumcise your heart. So it does relate to women. And brothers, when Yahweh's talking about the beten, the womb, he's talking about our innermost parts, our belly, the deep thing where our seat of our emotion lies. So it's for all of us, even though we can get caught up in that sexually charged language. If any man thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He that believes on me, as the scriptures say, out of his beten, his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Therefore, what do we understand? That the belly, the beten, is the inner person, the heart, the seat of emotion, the seat of thought, of knowledge, of desire, welling up from within, the belly of Torah. There's even a belly of Torah. If you go to Leviticus, Vayikra chapter 11 and verse 42 is the center mark of the Torah. And it's called the very center or the belly or the innermost part of the Torah. And there's what's called one of the tittles of Moshe Rabbeinu. One of those, you know, we talk about the jots and the tittles. It's one of the tittles. It's the center mark of the scribes right there. And the word there that appears is belly as well. Beten, belly. Look what it says in Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. You all know this. Before I formed you in the beten, the belly, I knew you. Yahweh knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He knew you in his heart, seat of emotion. He thought of you. He had knowledge of you and a desire welling up from within for you. I mean, that's personal. Yahweh had a desire within his innermost for you, personally, for you, when you were in your mother's womb. I mean, that what an awesome Yahweh. Before you came forth out of the womb, and he set you apart and has ordained you to speak to the nations, you are ordained to go and speak this message to your friends, to your family. And in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 20, Yahweh talking about Ephraim. He says, Ephraim, my dear son, is he a pleasant? For since I spoke against him, I do earnestly remember him still. Therefore, my inward parts, my belly, my beten, are troubled for him. Yahweh is troubled for us. Ephraim, who are scattered and exiled into the nation. Beten. Because guess what? There is something that's happening right now. It's called the recompense of Zion. It's the restoration of the kingdom to Israel. It is not just Judah, but it is Ephraim and Judah together. This is in Yahweh's innermost parts. This is in Yahweh's belly. This is what dwells up from within him right now, is that Ephraim and Judah would come together, which means that we would go and have a heart of evangelism for our brethren in the church, that we would bring them out and say, you know that you've been sitting there hungry and going, I love Jesus, but there's got to be more. Guess what? You're Ephraim. Come and join with the Torah, the commandments, and have a love for, you know that love for Israel that you have? Do you know where that comes from? You're Ephraim. It's the recompense of Zion, and it's coming to this generation. Look what it says in Hosea chapter 9, verse 10. Let's turn there. Give me a page, somebody. Hosea. Whatever, dude. Hosea, chapter 9, verse 10. I found Israel like grapes in the wilderness. I saw your avot fathers as the bichurim, first fruits in the fig etch tree in the beginning. But they went to Baal Peor and separated themselves for his shame. And their abominations were a result of their misplaced love. As for Ephraim, their Tifereth, their glory shall fly away like a bird. They are cut off from birth. And from the beten, the womb, and from conception. Though they bring up their children, yet will I make them childless, that there shall not be a man left. Woe to them when I depart from them. Ephraim, as I saw like Tazor, planted in a pleasant place, but Ephraim shall bring forth his children to the murderer. Isn't that true? Isn't that what we see in this modern world? The Beten, or the womb, or the Rechem, the womb is supposed to be the safest place to be. But is it? Ephraim will bring forth their children to the murderer. But the womb is supposed to be the safest place. Not anymore. It's a very dangerous place for a baby to be. Give them, O Yahweh, what will you give? Give them a miscarrying womb and dry breasts? All their wickedness is in Gilgal, for there I hated them. For the wickedness of their doings, I will drive them out of my Bayit. I will love them no more. All their rulers are rebels. Ephraim is smitten. Their root is dried up. They shall bear no fruit. Yes, though they bring forth, yet I kill even the beloved fruit of their womb. The consequences for disobeying the Torah, not wanting to walk in the covenants, is that you get the curse. I mean, Yahweh wants to change that for us. He wants to bring us into the blessings. Look what it also says in Hosea chapter 12 and verse 10. Let's see. I have spoken to you by the Nevi'im, the prophets, and I have multiplied visions and used parables by the service of the Nevi'im prophets. Is there iniquity in Gilead? Surely. Yet there are vanity. They sacrifice bullocks in Gilgal. Yes, their altars are as many as the heaps in the furrows of the fields. And Yah-Akev, Yah's heel, fled into the country of Aram, and Israel served for a wife, and for a wife he kept sheep. And by a prophet Yahweh brought Israel out of Mitzrayim, and by a prophet he was guarded. Ephraim provoked him to anger most bitterly. Therefore shall he leave his dam guilt, blood guilt upon him, and his reproach shall his master repay him. Some of the problems that brethren are having, it's blood guilt. It's come down from the generations. Where is the DNA recorded? In the blood. Yahweh wants to change your DNA. And that message he revealed to me, but he also revealed by the mouth of two or three witnesses a word is established. On the very same Torah portions, and I have not ever spoken to you, this is the first time I've met you, on Torah portions Matot and Torah portion Masai, I was teaching on DNA and generational sin. You're based in where? Mississippi, never met each other. Another Torah teacher teaching on DNA, generational sin on Torah portions, Matot and Masai. I was teaching on the Aleph Tav, he was teaching on the Aleph Tav. Exactly the same time. Where? How could that happen? If Yahweh is not trying to say, Ephraim, you have blood guilt. You wonder why things aren't happening? You have blood guilt. It's coming down to you. We've got to get rid of it. But not many people are going to like that message. Because that means that you actually have to do a look inside. And you have to start mourning. And you have to start wailing. And you have to start lamenting. But Yahweh wants to heal us. None of the diseases. Yahweh ro-pe-cha. Resh pe aleph. Yahweh is your healer. Yahweh ro-pe-cha. He doesn't want you to have the diseases of the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians. He doesn't want you to end up like your mummy. Couldn't help it. Sorry, all right? That was a Greg Leach joke right there.
You know it was, brother.
Was it not, Dane?
Totally.
See, you're rubbing off on me. Yes. What did Yeshua do? Yochanan chapter 5 verse 14. Bethesda, the house of sickness. If you actually go and look and you try and find out what does Bethesda mean, you'll come up with all kinds of, what's the house of the fish? the house of fish, the house of grace, the house of mercy, the house of sickness. But we just start to look at it in the language and you'll see a lot more. Bethesda, the house of sickness. Or, brethren, do you want to be made well? Or do you want to have the diseases of the Mitzrayim, the Egyptians, upon you? What did Yeshua say in Yochanan, John chapter 5, verse 14? Rise, take up your bed and walk. See, you have been made well. Go and break the Torah no more. You've been made well. Go and sin no more. Go break the Torah no more. There, otherwise, what will happen? A worse sin, Yeshua said, shall come upon you. Because right here, what we can see, do you notice? You can't really tell with the color, but within Bethesda, there is the Hebrew word hesed, the house of kindness. Yahweh will turn the house of sickness into the house of kindness if you are willing to return to his mitzvot, and no sin will come upon you. He will deliver you from the diseases of the Mitzrayim. It will no longer be the house of sickness. It will become Beth Hesed. Beth Hesed, the house of kindness. That is what is the message right there, right within the Hebrew. There it is in the Hebrew. House of sickness. Beth Chala, Beth Chala, or Beth Hesed, the house of kindness. That is what we're talking about, the house of kindness. There is actually four steps to healing. And let's talk about those four steps to healing. Number one, get up. Get up out of your sin. It's the first thing we've got to do. Get up out of our sin. Number two, people aren't going to like this. Get your stinking house in order. Okay, and that's it for me. I mean, get up out of your sin. Get your house in order. If you're sitting at home on your... and your wife is out there working while you're studying Torah, get your stinking house in order before you try and minister to Yahweh's house. I mean, really? Jiminy cricket. Am I the only one? I'm going to send my wife out working 50 hours a week so I can sit home and study the Torah. Please. Somebody stone me. Oh, I mean, you think I'm joking? And people won't say anything about it. And I'll be like, you what? Really? Wow. No, get your house in order first. Take care of your family. Then, when that's all sorted out, or you're at least in a place where you're in a good place with your wife and your kids, or vice versa, then go and minister to Yahweh's family. Yahweh first, then your family, then his family. There is an order. Four steps to healing. Get up out of your sin. Put your house in order. Number three, walk before me or have your halacha before me. Put your heel step in my ways. And get out of Bethsaida. Get out of the house of sickness. Get out of sin and come into Bethesda, the house of kindness. I mean, it's all right there, just a little bit within the Hebrew. You have to forgive my passion sometimes. Look what it says in the 13th verse of Deuteronomy. Going back to our Torah portion, Devarim. My wife has always said, you are a very passionate man. And sometimes you've got to rein in that passion. And I truly do. So excuse me. 7:13. And he will love you and bless you and multiply you, and he will bless the fruit of your Beten womb and the fruit of your land, your corn and your wine and your oil, and the increase of your cattle and the flocks and your sheep in the land which he swore to your avot, to your fathers, to give you. So there's going to be grain. There's going to be new wine. And we spoke about that last week. Oh, Yahweh, pour out your Holy Spirit on me. Yahweh's like, yeah, you're calling for the new wine, you old dry, brittle wineskin. How about you become a new wineskin so that you can contain what I'm about to pour out on you? You see, we want to we want it all, but oh no, I'm so rigid, I'm so brittle, you just touch me and I'll just break. No, I need to be a new wineskin, and then Yahweh will pour out his gifts, his manifestations of the Ruach HaKodesh upon me, because I can now finally contain them. I had a brother come up to me last week, and I really respected this brother for doing it. He came up to me afterwards, and he said, so do you believe that you can just like talk in tongues in the congregation without no interpretation? And I said, well, let me explain to you this. I said, you know, when I am ministering to people, it says that tongues bypass your understanding and you speak directly to Elohim. I said, when a brother or sister comes before me, I understand that tongues in the public setting, it's all about the setting, location, location, location. You can never self-edify in a public setting. Everything is for the edification of the body. Now, at home, I edify myself all the time. When I get up in the morning and I pray and I'm in the Word, that builds me up. And if I speak in a language of Malachim angels at home, yes, that builds me up. But here, I can't come here to build myself up. That is totally inappropriate. My purpose here is to build you up, to edify the body of Mashiach. Now, if somebody comes before me, a sister or a brother who has a need, and they ask me, I need some prayer. I'm praying that Yahweh will have a word for you. But you're standing before me and I'm thinking about cutting my lawn tomorrow. I'm thinking that I need to go to the Mac store after this and figure out some stuff for my computer. So all of a sudden, I start praying in a tongue to bypass my understanding so I can speak directly with Elohim. Elohim downloads to me and then all of a sudden, I give you an interpretation and it edifies you and you end up bawling and weeping and the words of the prophets are subject to the prophets. I said to the brother, go speak to the people and tell them if that was a true word or not. I can't explain it to you. I don't know what I say. I don't know. But you go and test it. Otherwise, I'll be thinking about cutting my lawn. I don't know how it works. All I know is that I experienced the power of Yahweh, and either it was the power of Yahweh, and if that was true, my doctrine was wrong. Or it wasn't the power of Yahweh, and my doctrine was right. I was willing to humble myself because I was confronted with the power of Yahweh and say my doctrine was wrong. And Yahweh filled me even more. I see, so we have to be willing to be a new wineskin. He said, well, what about this falling backwards? I said, and I started laughing, and Evan was right there. I said, I've got it on DVD. I've got it on MP3. I used to passionately teach to the congregation. Men of Yahweh always fall forward. If you see anyone falling backwards, when the only time they fall backwards is when they come and they arrest Yeshua and they all draw backwards. I said that many, many times. And then I start studying about the showbread. And I see it's called the bread of laying out. And I realize, hang on a minute. I need to repent. I was wrong. Because guess what? If you start falling forwards when I'm praying for you, you're going to be at my feet. You think that's pleasing to Yahweh? Don't. Please fall at my feet. You see? So I had to stand up in front of everybody and eat some humble pie. And guess what? That was because I was willing to be a new wineskin, to withhold and contain what he was about to pour out. My doctrine was wrong when I was confronted with the power of Yahweh I was willing to change. That is what it's all about. I can't explain it to you, I said, but I went and I saw. Just like it's always been with my relationship with Yahweh. Come and you shall see. And sometimes when you see things, you either are so stubborn because you want to be right, or you go, you know what, I'm wrong. I'm wrong, and I've got to go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, 13 and 14 and figure out my doctrine, because what I am seeing right now is the power of Yahweh. Is that right? You were with me when I had that paradigm shift, and you had the paradigm shift too. Yeah. I mean, we were like, this guy was praying. I'm like, I am not going down. No, I'm not. There's no way I'm going down. I'm not. I digressed. I went on a rabbi trail. Again. Where are we? We're here. We're in the Beth Hesed, the house of kindness. Mashiach in us. New wine. New grain. New flocks. It will all increase. The remez, the hint, is the grain. The grain. Aren't so many of the parables, they're agricultural. Because grain is Mashiach in us. Remember? He said a grain must fall to the ground. A grain must die to bear much fruit. We die, when we die to ourselves, when we die to our selfish ambition, to our doctrinal correctness, when we die to that, Mashiach comes in us and we produce much fruit in our womb, our beten, our innermost person. I mean, when I came into the Torah movement, I was so zealous for the Torah, and I still am. But I was all about being doctrinally correct, because I had been doctrinally incorrect. That I was so hard-nosed that I became Pharisaic. Because I was so hard-nosed. You see, so when you become so strong on something, you become brittle and dry and rigid. And you can't contain the new wine that he wants to pour in. And it's only through maturity, through me growing up and having made repentance publicly and humbling myself and saying, you know, I've made some mistakes, brethren. Help me. I always remember this when I was at Calvary Chapel. The pastor was a good friend of mine. And we were there, and it was a Sunday, you know, full, and he was giving a sermon, and one of the brothers came forward to adjust some kind of wire, and he went down like this, you know, to do it. And the pastor had a great sense of humor, and he's like, hey, brother, I'm just a man, you know, because it looked like he was just totally going down to prostrate himself. But, you know, sometimes people look at you because you're up here teaching and they think, oh, you're such a holy person, or you're so godly. Hey, we're all just men. We're all sisters and brothers struggling in this walk together to overcome the sin. My new word of the day is, just as Rav Shaliach said, take heed to yourself, Matthew, and take heed to the doctrine. That's it. That's the word. Take heed to yourself and take heed to the doctrine. Instead of looking at everybody else, what they're doing, looking at my wife on how she could improve, take heed to yourself. I tried that last night. My wife and I were both taxed with the children. We were both at the end of our ropes, and things started to go sideways. And I didn't stick around. I usually stick around to kind of get in the midst of it all. But this time I was like, take heed to yourself and take heed to the doctrine. I went upstairs and I got down on the floor and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I confessed about myself and the sin that's in me and the irritation. And I went downstairs and there was nothing there. There was nothing. It was shalom. And then this morning, my wife came to me, and we were reading scripture and praying together, and she just opened up her heart. It was amazing. No. I mean, it was nothing. It was just like shalom. It's like, now, why can't I do that every time? Because Yahweh, I pray that I've broken the stronghold, and that I truly now can take heed to myself and heed to the doctrine. Because it was amazing. It's just amazing in my house, in my marriage, with my children. It's fabulous. Let's continue on. Mashiach says that if he's in us, remember that a grain must fall to the ground and die to bear much fruit. When we die to ourselves, Mashiach comes in us and we produce much fruit in our womb, in our betten, in our innermost person. And that wine is the set apart joy of the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh. That joy, that well will flow up and increase the wine, the blood, the freshness of Mashiach. But we have to be able to contain what he wants to pour out in us. And that oil in the Hebrew yitshah, it's that first pressing. That is the first pressing of the oil that's used for anointing. That our anointing, your anointing, it's going to be anew, it's going to be refreshed, and it will increase. That is what it is. He doesn't want to give you the second pressing or the third pressing or some manky oil. That's why we always change the oil out every week. He wants the first pressing for you because he doesn't want any bits in it. That oil that will go up in the temple menorah, if there was any flesh of the olive in it, it would hinder the burning and the brightness of the light. If there's any of my flesh in the way, then it's going to hinder my light. I've got to get rid of the flesh of the olive in my life so that my oil will truly be a light unto the nations. That's what it's about. And look at what he says. He will increase our cattle. Cattle is aleph in the Hebrew. Increase our cattle. Yahweh will increase our strength. Aleph, strength. He will increase our strength. When we do these things, when we walk in the commandments, he will increase our flock, our strength, everything. So when we go back to the beginning, we go back to where we have started. The blessings are going to chase us down. Just like when you run, that heel strike, automatically things happen. The moment you step out and that heel strikes the floor, the blessings are going to chase you down. That's how to have a fruitful life. We have to watch over the ways of our household. We truly do. We have to get out of the house of sickness and we have to get into the house of kindness. And like I said, four steps to healing. We've got to confess our sin. But we have to have our house in order, brethren. This is a big problem in the Messianic and Torah movement. People do not have their houses in order. Is that a true word? It is. It's so wonderful to see young children in our midst because that's a sign that houses are being restored. When we walk in the commandments, when we adhere to the Torah, we are actually having legal rights to walk upon the head of Satan. These are amazing things. These are the keys that we have right here in the scripture. And it is powerful. It's amazing. It's awesome. At this point, brethren, what I'm going to ask is that we're going to have a time of testimony. This is a time when I ask it, the body of Mashiach, that we would come forward, and if there's anything that ministered to you today in the word, in the message, in the Torah parsha, then come forward. You shall overcome by the Dharma of the Lamb and by the word of your testimony. Your testimony is so powerful and encouraging. It's not a time of teaching. It's a time of you testifying how you are overcoming in your life. And you know, every week I like to put somebody on the spot. And this week, I'm going to put Dave Matthews on the spot and just ask him just to come up and just say a few words. And after he does, then I'm going to ask you, brethren, to come forth and testify. It's an honor, brother, to meet you and that you're here. Truly an honor. Bless you so much. Another man of Yahweh to do the great work. So hand it over to you for a few minutes just to share whatever you like.
Well, it's amazing because I was sharing last night at the place where we were ministering, and it was almost as if I either had your notes or you had mine. And so I believe with all my heart that this is the direction that Father's leading us as a corporate body, how we walk in front of other individuals. When we lay out that heel print, is what's going to indicate whether we're heading in the proper direction. And I believe that what he's trying to reveal to us, some of you guys were there last night, you heard that there's no doubt that this was a word from the Father because he and I haven't talked. And it's an indicator That we're living in the season where the most important thing that we can see is fixing the body, doing away with the things in us as individuals that will hinder us from being who He's called us to be. I was sitting there and I saw something I've never seen before. You may have seen it. You had the word Ephraim up there. And all of a sudden I saw the word Afar, dust, and Yam, sea, water. The two ingredients that are used in the bitter waters of jealousy, the judging. And then it's the Torah that determines, along with our walk, whether or not we have the belly that rots out or the belly that becomes fruitful. We can Ephraim also means either doubly fruitful or the ash heap. And I believe that as we hear these kinds of things tonight, if we will learn how to take these old stiff wine skins and stretch them and deal with what's on the inside of us, that's the hardest thing that I've found as a personal believer. I found that self-examination is extremely difficult. It's painful, but it will cause you to look at other people that are around you in an entirely different light. I found that if I would examine myself, everybody else's problems seemed to disappear. So either they fixed them or I was the source. Amen. I really appreciate you guys. I hear a lot about what's happening here. My brother Jamie, he's been sharing some wonderful things about the word that Father's been speaking into this congregation. And there's no doubt in my heart that we're heading in the right direction. And we need to stay on that proper path. Let your achev, your heel strike, let it lead you to Yeshua. Thank you, brother.
Baruch Hashem Yahweh. And at this moment, I must have a really loud voice. I do. Let's come on forward, brethren, and testify.